Good morning, friends. I am so happy to be here with you all, on this first Sunday of the year. And I saw a meme recently that I want to share with you because it really fits what I've been feeling lately. So it starts, it's just words on a background, and it starts saying, "Me in history class. Wow. Humanity has been through some fascinating times. I wonder if I'll ever live through major historical events." And then it ends saying, "Me now. No, 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 no. I want to get off this ride. It was supposed to be space travel." Friends, we are living through some scary times that will no doubt be written about in history books for future generations to reflect back on and call fascinating. None of us signed up for this. We didn't hope to live through a resurgence of fascism across the globe. We didn't wish that our country would attack the very humanity of two-spirit, trans, and gender-expansive folks, or that we would threaten a person's ability to choose to have children or not. We didn't long for the very erosion of our democracy or the right to seek asylum. And we're living on a precipice right now. Although we may not have chosen this, we are living in fascinating, churning, important times. And in these times, we have to ask ourselves, who do we want to be? How can we live our values to the fullest? And what side of history do we want to be on? The next 4 years and beyond are going to be tough. I'm sure many of you, like me, are still grappling with the results of our national election, grieving the turn to the right our country has experienced through them, and worrying what will happen next. Even before the election results were known, we knew that we were going to have our work cut out for us as justice-loving people of faith. We knew that fascism was rising and that people were being harmed by systems of oppression. We knew that it wasn't the politicians who are going to save us. Only we can save us. But how do we save us, you may be thinking? It's actually the same as it's always been, by living our values and being fully human with each other. In other words, the work that we must do to save us is accompaniment. You see, fascism and systems of oppression want to convince us that we're all alone, that there is such a thing as other people, and that others are scary. Fascism seeks to separate us. So the only antidote to it is to come together. Accompaniment is the radical act of being with someone facing oppression, even when, and maybe especially when, you don't know how it's going to turn out. To commit to being with them through the fear and the pain and the loss and the joy and the fun. It's a way of showing each other and the world that we're all in this together. What happens to one of us happens to all of us. Accompaniment can mean taking risks that you otherwise would not have to face in order to make sure that others have what they need, like gender-affirming care, access to abortion medications, or the ability not to be deported to an unsafe place. Although it seems like that risk is for someone else, it's actually a risk that we take for ourselves, for our very souls, and for the world we want to live in. We, as UUs, have been accompanying those most affected by systems of oppression for a very long time. In fact, the symbol of our faith, the chalice, was founded in our resistance to fascism and our commitment to liberation for all. You see, during World War II, the Unitarian Service Committee, the predecessor to UUSC, for which I work, sent Reverend Dr. Charles Rhine Joy to Portugal, to Lisbon, the last open port in Europe, to get as many folks out and free as possible. And And what he discovered was that many people didn't have the paperwork necessary to cross borders. And so instead of thinking about the risks, he said, let's make them those documents. He forged paperwork for people to get them free. And he knew to make it look as official as possible, we needed a seal. So he went to Hans Deutsch, a migrant refugee in Portugal and an artist, and said, please make us a seal. And the seal he made was the chalice. So we've been seeing a rise in fascism across our country for a few years now. And with the recent election, our federal government will be weaponized against those most oppressed now too. So what will our accompaniment look like in today's crisis? What will be the risks we take to live our values? How does our chalice call us to respond in these times? Right now, UUSC is deeply involved in two forms of accompaniment. One through our CAPAS program, which stands for the Community Accompaniment Program with Asylum Seekers, and the other through the Pink Haven Coalition, which seeks trans liberation. Both programs are radical ways of living our UU values of justice, equity, transformation, pluralism, interdependence, and generosity, as our new value statement, Article 2, lays out. And I also always put them in the jet pig order because it makes me happy. Working for justice means we covenant to dismantle racism and all forms of systemic oppression. Our migrant and trans beloveds are at the forefront of this struggle. By accompanying them in these scary times, we're making the world a more just place, even when our government and systems are deeply unjust. Working for equity means we use our time, wisdom, attention, and money to build and sustain fully accessible and inclusive communities. When a congregation decides to say yes to the work of CAPAS or Pink Haven, we at UUSC work with you to create welcoming villages that model the sustainable, accessible, inclusive world we wish to see everywhere. Working for transformation means being open to change and understanding that we will never be complete and we will never be perfect. When you accompany someone, you will be changed radically. And trust me, you will become very aware that perfect was never an option. But love is always at the center and will help us move through the discomfort of growth. Working for pluralism means we covenant to learn from one another in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Accompaniment often means seeing someone who is very different from you as family, to learn from them and welcome them, even as you know they will change you and challenge you and your community, because you know that the beloved community is diverse and beautiful. Working for interdependence means creating and nurturing sustainable relationships with the earth and all people full of care, respect, mutuality, and justice. We know that none of us are free until all of us are free. So we resist fascism and oppression even when it's not pointed directly at us, because we're all bound up together. Working for generosity means cultivating a spirit of gratitude and hope. Fascism and oppression wants us to stay in scarcity mindset. But the reality is we have everything we need to care for ourselves and each other. This is the time, more than any other, to lean into generosity, to give what you can of your resources, your time, and your activism. As the newest iteration of our values, values that we've held dear for generations and that continue to evolve and grow through our living tradition, Article 2 also grounds us in the truth that at the center of all we do, of all those values, of all our actions, we must put love. That is what accompaniment is. Radical love that can and will change this world for the better. As we as a faith approved the new version of Article 2 and of our values, we also passed the most radical, welcoming, and loving business resolution, which is such a weird thing to say, that I have ever seen any faith approve. We stated unequivocally that embracing transgender, non-binary, intersex, and gender-diverse people is a fundamental expression of our UU religious values. This groundbreaking resolution calls us into action, which can include condemning and resisting all anti-trans legislation, partnering with local and state organizations led by trans, non-binary, and intersex people, amplifying campaigns for bodily autonomy, and supporting organizations like the Pink Haven Coalition. So you might be wondering, what would it mean to support Pink Haven? Well, first, you should know who we are and what we do. The Pink Haven Coalition is led by trans organizers who saw what was happening in our country and decided to take action to save their community many years ago. We are in an interfaith coalition with Quakers, Jews, Mennonites, the United Church of Christ, and more. We're exploring partnerships with mutual aid networks, anarchists, non-faith folks, anyone who's saying, no, I won't let this happen, not on my watch. We're working together to create networks of safety and direct support for trans beloveds and their families who need to relocate, access healthcare across state lines, or stay as safe as possible where they are. Because of the safety concerns for these organizers and the people they're serving, we are prioritizing their security above all, which is allowing us to move together in deep trust during these crucial, frightening times. This is why we're not sharing any names of organizers or the folks moving or the trans-led organization that's leading us in this work. Instead, we've come up with the stage name of Pink Haven Coalition. And the work for trans liberation is closely related to the work for migrant justice. And we've learned a great deal from CAPIS that's helped us dive in and already support hundreds of folks who've fled oppressive states within our country to safer states like California. Acting in coalition for trans liberation and migrant justice is a direct antidote to the rising fascism we see not only in the United States, but throughout the world. Whenever we resist fascism and injustice, we weaken them everywhere. Know that as you support our trans and migrant beloveds to not just survive, but thrive, you're also supporting all others that are targeted by fascism, and you're helping to heal the world from the sin of dehumanization and oppression. Here are three important ways you can get involved in this critical work to support trans liberation and migrant justice. First, get involved as a volunteer. We're always looking for people to be part of villages of support. We need hosts to offer spaces in their homes and volunteers to provide support in navigating government programs, accessing healthcare, finding employment, and establishing social connections. By joining forces, we can provide a safer exodus and a welcoming community for those settling in our area. Learn more about more specific ways that you can do this and how you can start organizing in the session after the service. Make a gift. These efforts to support our trans beloveds and migrants require financial resources. Your contributions will help us address the practical needs of those seeking sanctuary, respond to their immediate needs, and set them up for success in their new lives. The First Parish in Malden, Massachusetts, has generously offered to act as a fiscal sponsor for the work of Pink Haven. You can donate to that work at www.pinkhaven.org. To support the work of CAPIS, consider becoming a member of UUSC. Or support those organizations locally that are directly led by trans and migrant folks who know best how to attack this issue. Skill up. We are all in different places on our justice journeys. Some of us here are trans or gender expansive, and others of us may be new to the wonderful world that awaits beyond the gender binary. For those of us who may not fully understand the terms and complexities of gender and race, and maybe worry about not knowing what to say and or saying the wrong thing, I urge you to lean into your discomfort and support these individuals anyway. You're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. Continue to explore resources that increase your competency in these arenas. Know that you'll make mistakes, you'll learn, and you'll make a different mistake next time. Reach out to me if you have any ideas about what you want to learn next. Pretty much nothing would make me happier than to help in that way. And one important skill we can all use during these scary times as we accompany those most affected by systems of oppression is how to keep the vision of the world we want front and center so that we can move towards it with love even as things get hard. So as I close out my message, I'm going to invite you into a brief visioning practice that I hope you can take beyond this time together. I ask that you settle your body into a comfortable position. Maybe that means grounding your feet to the floor like the roots of a great oak tree. Maybe that means relaxing your head and letting your chin dip down a bit so your head is closer to your heart. Maybe that means leaning your head back as if your head is really in the clouds and you're dreaming, as they say. Maybe it's something completely different. That's okay. If you're comfortable doing so, close your eyes or soften your gaze. Take a deep breath in. And as you release the breath, notice your muscles. Are they clenched from worry? Are they stiff from months of anxiety? Where are you touching the seat? Take another deep breath in. And as you release your breath, try to unclench, let go, relax. Keep breathing, even when I don't tell you to. Now, in this hopefully more relaxed state, imagine that we've made it. We're in the beloved community, where there's no war, no poverty, no borders, and no prisons. Justice, equity, transformation, pluralism, interdependence, and generosity, the jet pig is flying around, and love has suffused the world. Bring yourself into that future time when we have arrived and we are together. Notice what senses are being activated. They may be different for each of us. Does a picture come to mind? What do you see? What do you hear? Maybe a scent comes to mind, or a taste. Some of us will even feel things. Who's there with you? What are we doing together? Take a deep breath in as you continue to notice what the beloved community looks like, feels like, sounds like, tastes like, feels like to you. Slowly breathe out. Now, as I slowly invite you back to the present, take a moment to notice how your time in the beloved community made you feel. Did something stick with you particularly? A sound, an image, something you can use as a touchstone to help you back there. Feel free to stretch or wiggle as you need to as you come back to the now and the here. My colleague and friend Angela Kelly taught me that practice, and it has had a profound impact on not just my mental health and my ability to stay in this work for the long haul, but also in how I do the work right now. I'm sure you know as well as I do that it's a lot easier being the person you want to be in this world when you're filled up with peace and possibility rather than frustration and fear. You see, when I imagine the beloved community, what I experience is a true community meal. Food plays a large part of my life. I love to feed people, I love to try new foods, and I love to connect with people over meals. This is a general trait in my family. We often return from vacations and spend the first hour of describing said vacation just talking about the food we ate. So as I'm brought back to that place, that meal, I know that the food we are sharing tastes like the joy of knowing no one is hungry. That the laughter I hear sounds like true liberation, a type of laughter that can only be heard when no one is behind bars. And that the people I'm with feel like home because I know everyone else in the world is safe and has shelter. Just talking about it now with you fills me with a sense of peace and possibility. I miss that world, even though I've never physically been there. And when I'm struggling with all the injustices in the world and feeling overwhelmed and like I have to respond to all of them or feeling like nothing I do can ever make a real difference, I go back to that place. I let it wash over me and I ask myself, what will get me closer to that world? How am I different when I'm in that place, and how can I start living that way in the here and now? What is my work to do? The work that combines my passions and my skills that gets us closer to that beloved community. And my answer is sacred solidarity through accompaniment. Being the beloved community now, even though it doesn't exist yet. And I hope you join me in whatever way you feel called. Whether that is through one of UUSC's accompaniment programs or another way of being with folks directly impacted. We are all in this together. Amen. Ashe. Let it be so. And let's get to work.